Today's shiur is dedicated for Schus for Fu Shleima for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masecht in the Darim Daf Mem Zayin. We will begin on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud. We learned in our Mishnah, the Mishnah taught us, Amalek Averai, if somebody says to someone else, Koinim Lebeischa Shani Nechnas Vesotcha Shani Lekeach. He says, I won't walk into your home or I won't walk into your field even if I buy it. And the Mishnah taught us that if the owners towards whom he made this neder were nifter, if the Urei sold this property to someone else, then he may walk into that property. Because he only said that he may not walk into the property when it's Beischa or Satcha. And it's not Beischa or Satcha once he's not alive anymore, he sold it. There is a machlokes rishonim. What would be the halacha if he said this neder, and then the person who he said the neder towards passed away, and then he didn't pass, sold it and then bought it back? The person who asked the question of the rivosh in Shalos Chuvos Rivosh Simen Shin Nun Vav says that the house reverts back to its original status. Because he said, Beischa, he spoke about this house, and he spoke about this house as long as your house, and it is currently his house. And since it's currently his house, it's included in what he said. Whereas the Rivosh disagrees, and the one that asked the question, the Rivosh seems to say that it's Panim Chadoshes, there was a whole new transaction here. The Rivosh disagrees. The Rivosh says that since it's this house that he made the nether about, and it's now again the house of the person towards whom he made the nether, he may not walk into the house. And the Mishnah Melech actually says that according to the Rivosh, even if he bought the house that wasn't ever his, that it's still considered part of the Isser. That the Isser is on the house, and it doesn't make a difference. Since in the case where he made the Isser, if he bought a different house, according to the Rivosh, if I said that I'm not going to walk into your house, even if the house that you currently have was not a house that you had when I made the nether, but since I made the I connected the nether to your house, and this is currently your house, then the halacha is that I cannot walk into that house. The Mishnah continued to teach us that if somebody said "Bai ze shani nechnas v'sod zu shani l'keach," he didn't connect it to the ownership of anyone. He connected it to a particular house or to a particular property. So then, even if the owners who owned it when I made the nether passed away, or they sold it to someone else, since I did not connect the nether to the ownership of the house, I said by the besadazu, I connected it to a particular house, then I would not be allowed to walk into it under any circumstances. So there's a chumrah when I said beischa over by the, because when I said beischa, if the house collapses and a new house is built there, then certainly everybody agree that I cannot use that home. But if I said by zeh, and then says the Ran, it collapses and a new house is built, so it's not by zeh. The Ran also quotes the Yerushalmi. We mentioned this when we learned the Mishnah. What will be the halacha if somebody, when he made the nether, said beischa zeh? Do we follow the word beischa, or do we follow, and therefore, if he sold it or he passed away, I could walk into the house? Or do we follow the word zeh? And even if he sold it or passed away, I would not be allowed to walk into the house. The Ritva and the Mukhi Yosef say that when somebody says beischa zeh, it's treated like he said the second case that we discussed tonight in today's shir, a bai zeh, and it's locked into the house. It's not connected to the ownership. This halacha is referring to a situation where somebody said regarding himself that I won't walk in to this house And as we just discussed, this nether could be verbalized in a number of ways. But if somebody says that somebody else, that means I could say to anybody or to anything that I won't benefit from it. But if somebody says to somebody else, you may not benefit from something, so the only thing that I could say, the only thing that I can include in such a nether are things that I own. Something that I own, I could say you may not benefit from. But something that I don't own, I can't tell you that you can't benefit. I don't have that level of ownership. To which the Gemara asked, by Avimi asked the following question. Haimer, somebody said, this home which I own, Shata Nechnas, you may now walk in there. He says that to somebody else. And now he passes away. Oh, Machrul Ach, or he sold it to someone else. Mahu. What will be the halacha? May he walk in, may that person now walk into the house or not? What is the question? Do we say Adam Isadovab Rishusoi that right now the house was the person who belonged to the person who made the nether? Since right now the house belonged to the person who made the nether, so a person can make a nether, Adam Isadovab Rishusoi Lichesheitzer Rishusoi. He can make the nether that it should be effective even for when he no longer owns it. Aloy, or as we just said a moment ago, you can't make a nether to affect another individual over property which you don't own. And at that point, you don't own the property anymore. And in fact, the Rishonim point out, even the Gemara's question would be even if he said it explicitly. If somebody explicitly, when he made the nether, says, I make a nether that you can never walk into this house. And even when I don't own it, the same question would still be valid. Why is there such a question? Point out the Rishonim. Why would we think that a person, we just learned that a person could only tell somebody else you may not have benefit from something, a person can only say, you cannot benefit from something that I own. But if I don't own it, what's the Havamin and the Gemara that I should be able to make such a nether? This is a question that many Rishonim ask. So Rishonim go back to a concept that we've discussed more than once in our Masechta. And that's the concept that Nedarim, Kainamis, are very, very much compared to Hegdish. And when somebody makes something hegdish, it remains hegdish forever. Therefore, and that it remains hegdish forever. So since nedarim are considered like hegdish, maybe it should be that a person can make something usur for afterwards. The Karvin Asano asks, why is this a question? We learned previously in a Masechta where somebody made a nether that he can't, that someone else cannot have benefit from his field. And then the Shemitah year comes. And the Gemara says that the nether is still effective. So why shouldn't we learn from Shemitah? So the Karben Asano says a very important explanation. He says we cannot compare Shemitah to Nedarim. The reason why we can't compare Shemitah to Nedarim, says the Karben Asano, because when we speak about Shemitah and we speak of the rights of anybody to come into my field during the Shemitah year, Shemitah doesn't mean that the field is not mine. Shemitah comes with its own set of halachas, but it's still mine. And therefore, if I made the nether, it's still effective it's still going to be remain in effect for during the Shemitah year. Whereas, when I sell a property or the person who made the nether passes away, under those circumstances, his rights are completely gone. Since under those circumstances, the rights to the property are completely gone, that's why the Gemara has a legitimate question, will this nether be considered a valid nether or will it not be considered a valid nether? Furthermore, the Rishonim, in explaining this Gemara's question, point out that the entire question that the Gemara asks is only if when I made the neder, I owned the property? And the Gemara's question is, since when I made the neder, it was a perfectly good neder, can that neder continue to be in effect even when I no longer own the property? But explain the Rishonim. If at the point, if at the time I made the neder, I didn't own the property, so then for sure the neder, as we've been learning, would not be effective, even if I ultimately own the property. Amar Rav Toshma, if somebody says to a son, you may not have any benefit from your father, says that to a son. And then, the father passes away, you're a shena, because the neder is only effective as long as the father is alive. But if the father explicitly declared that the neder should be effective while he's alive or where he's no longer alive, and then the father passes away, lo yirshenem. And the way the Rishonim explain lo yirshenem doesn't mean, the Ran explains, doesn't mean that he doesn't get it as a Yerusha. The Ran explains, Yerusha is a din d'oraisa. And if he's a son, unless there was a will written in a halachically permissible fashion that would exempt him from that Yerusha, he is the Yoyrish. What the Ran says the Gemara means to say is, he's the Yoyrish, but he can't use it because of what the Gemara means to say, he is the Yoyrish, but he doesn't have the right to use it. What do we see from here? Shmamino, but we see that a father can make a declaration that should be effective even after he's no longer the owner of the property, after he passed away. So isn't this a raya, suggests the Gemara, that Adam Oysadova Breshusoi, since at this point when he made the neder, he was the owner of the property, that the neder could remain effective even L'Kishietzim Breshusoi? Shmamino, we have a clear answer to this question. So, of course, the Rishonim point out, here, the father made a specific declaration, B'chayav u'b'moysoi. It may be that if he didn't make the declaration, B'chayav u'b'moysoi, then Agamar is not speaking about that. And the Rishonim, indeed, because of this question, point out that we're going to have to explain our Gemara. The question that we're discussing in our Gemara is referring to a case where it was very clear that that was the intention of the person who made the neder, that the neder should remain effective forever. So he continues the Gemara, Tanan Hossam. We're going to learn in a Mishnah Mitzvah Daf Nun Zayin Amar Aleph. If somebody saw fruit in front of him, and he says, Koinem Peres Ha'elu Olai, I may not have any benefit from these fruits. Or he said, Koinem MLP, Koinem Ha'elapi, Osbechlu Feyim, the Aloch is if these Peres were exchanged for other fruits, Ubegudaleim, or you may not have anything that grows out from the fruit. And we're going to see in our Gemara that even though our Gemara speaks about chulufeim and gudulayim, it's pretty obvious in learning the Gemara that the Gemara wasn't really focused on gudulayim. It's quite clear, it seems, from the Gemara that the gudulayim would certainly be osur. The question is that we're going to speak about the chulufeim. And the Gemara explains what, and we're going to understand what this means. That means it's very clear that if I said to myself that I may not have any benefit from these fruits, chilufeim and gedoleim ha'asur. But by Rabbi Bachama, now Rabbi Bachama asked the question. Oma, kairim peres ha'elu ha'ploini. If somebody said that these fruits should be asur to someone else. Now the question is, what will be that person's status regarding chilufeim? And the Gemara explains the question. Mi aminin, do we say that legab delay when somebody speaking about himself, hal adam oisa peres chaver el atzmai, somebody could say something which he doesn't own is going to be usher to himself, adam oisa davar shelo bal olam. So the chilufim, which weren't in existence when I made the nether, could still be the an effective nether. However, gaba chaveroi, as we said a number of times in our shir, however, ein adam oisa peres chaver el chaveroi. The only thing that I could accomplish with a nether regarding other people are things that I own. Things that somebody else owns, I can't make any nedarim that would affect somebody else. Similarly, the halacha is ein adam oiser davish labalayil mal chaveri. So the easiest way to learn the Gemara is that we see that the Torah, that the halacha gives much stronger, that the nether that I make to myself that affects me is a much stronger nether than a nether that affects somebody else. Since the nether that I make myself is a stronger nether, therefore the halacha is that will also affect the chilufeim. But the nether that I make that affects another individual, as we've been discussing in our shir, is not such a strong nether. And therefore, since it's not such a strong nether, it doesn't have such strength, it wouldn't affect the chilufeim either. The Ran and the Tosfos point out that this discussion that we're having in our Gemara by chilufeim in Geduleim is not only relevant to Hilchos Nedarim, it's relevant to many areas of halacha where something is asur. And the Gemara's question is, how do we look at it? Does it affect the chilufeim? If something is asur, does it affect the chilufeim or not? The Ran explains that the Gemara's question is not that midaraisa, the chilufeim, should be included in another. But the Gemara's question was strictly midrabanan. The Gemara's question was, do the rabbanan extend the nether to affect the chilufeim as well? And that's why there would be a nafkamina if this was done l'chatchilo or b'di'evid. However, there are rishonim that suggest that it's even a question midaraisa, that it could be a question that something which is asur affects the chilufeim midaraisa. And as I said, the nafkamina would be, what would be if somebody did such a chilufim? If we say it's asur midaraisa, then it would be not acceptable even b'di'evid. If it's only asur midrabanan, then the halacha would be that we could be lenient if it was done. We could be lenient when it was done b'di'evid. Continues the Gemara. Oidoma, or do we say, as I said a few moments ago, that the Gemara's focus is on chilufin. The Gemara's focus is not on gidulim. Why is the Gemara's focus not on gidulim? Because when we speak about gidulim, the Gemara is suggesting that everybody agrees that it's asur. And therefore we'll say chilufim have the same din as gidulim. Oidoma, shim the chilufim ki gidulim dami. And lo yishna hu. And when we speak about gidulim, since they're a direct outgrowth of the thing that's asur, since they're a direct outgrowth of what's asur, so it's asur whether the nether was the nether that I made for about towards my or my possession towards myself, or a nether that I made affecting someone else. Lo yishna hu, for lo yishna chaveroi, it would be asur. Says the one Amar of Achbam Yumi Toshma. If somebody says to his wife, a husband said to his wife, you may not have any benefit. And immediately the Rishonim asked the question, how could a person make a nether that his wife can't have any benefit from him? Isn't there a halacha that a husband has obligations to his wife that he has to fulfill? So how could he make a nether that is contrary to those obligations that he has with the Raisa? So I saw in the Rishonim two answers. One answer that the Rishonim suggest is that he made the nether before she was in the suit to him. He made the nether when she was only in Arusa. When do these obligations that the Torah speaks about, Sherevel Ksusav Einos LaYigra, begin? They only begin at the time of Nesuin. But here we're going to be referring to a case where the Nadarim were made, earlier. And since the Nadarim were made earlier, very much consistent with what we've been discussing in our shir, if a nether is made earlier, it could remain in effect for even in a time when normally such a nether would not be able to be made. That's one explanation that I saw the Rishonim suggest. Another explanation that I saw the Rishonim suggest in the answer to this question. The way this nether was verbalized, the nether was verbalized that if a husband says to the wife, if you will benefit from anything that I own, we won't be able to have relations. So he didn't explicitly say that he's not going to have relations, which he's obligated to have. He said that, he said it in a way that if she'll benefit from him, then she can't have relations, which is not a violation of his obligations to his wife. So again, says the Gemara, Amar Abacha ben Yumi Toshima, Haim Lishta Kanim Shani Nenaloch, he says to his wife that you can't have any benefit from me. And now the wife needs to be able to live. Loiva, she could borrow funds from other people, or Baal Chavim Boim Venefron. And the people who lent her the money could take the money that they lent to the husband. So of course, the Rishonim all ask, we have learned many times the opinion. There's a big machlokes Chanan b'nei Kohanim Gedolim, that if somebody supported somebody else's wife, do those people have a right to collect the money from the husband? And Chanan said that they can't, and the b'nei Kohanim Gedolim said they can. So how will Chanan explain this brisa? So the Rishonim explain that Chanan is going to explain that only if somebody went, he was a kind person, and he went and he saw this woman, unfortunately, no one here to support her. They're generous people, and they go and support her. That's where Chanan said that they don't have, as we learned the wording of the Gemara earlier in Amasechta, he put his money at risk. But if, when the money was given, it was very clear that it's money that's being lent to her because she needs to be able to live, even Chanan would agree that the husband has to pay back the people who lent his wife money. The Rashba disagrees. The Rashba says that the husband is not obligated to pay back, and he says that our Gemara is not following the opinion of Chanan. So the Mishnah says, "Baal Chayim Boiv Nefroim." They pay back what the woman needed to borrow from these people. The husband has to pay back the people who lent money to his wife. Now, my Tama, why is it mutter? Why could they take money from the husband? Isn't that chilufin of the food that she ate? And if we hold chilufin as usur, they shouldn't be allowed to take that. She should not be allowed to have these people get back the money. Lav, isn't it proof the chilufin lav kadumadami? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Dilma, maybe the answer to that question is however, the avad, but here it's not that somebody went and said that this is also to me, and then he substituted for something else, and now he said, well, that's not what I said is also, and I could benefit from here. What happened over here was that he used that this woman borrowed money to live. So it's a v'evit situation where now he has to pay back. So it's not a direct violation of the nether. And since it's not a direct violation of the nether, therefore it's mutter. And the Ran goes a step further. The Ran says not only would the husband be allowed to pay back after the fact that the wife borrowed money from others to live, but the Ran says that she's allowed to l'chatchila go borrow money from other people, because only in a case where somebody is directly doing something on behalf of somebody who's not allowed to have hanoah from here. Here, the wife, there are two separate steps. The wife borrowed money because she needs to live. That she's allowed to do. And the husband, as we just explained a few moments ago, has an obligation to pay that obligation. Ela Toshma, says the Gemara, the Raya is from the following bright, from the following Mishnah, Masechta Kedushin, Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, a Mekadesh Be'orlo, or somebody's Mekadesh a woman with Orlo, and a Mekadeshes. We know that any fruit that grows from a tree during the first 3 years, the halacha is that it's Osa Bahano. So to be Mekadesh a woman, to marry a woman with something that a value, it has to have the value of a pruta. Orla doesn't have any value. But somebody went and machon, but she did the wrong thing. He sold those pears Orla, with kiddush b'demayim, and used that money to be Mekadesh a woman, I raise them Mekadeshes. Now, if we're going to say, as we've been saying in our shir, that the question of chilufei nedarim and the question of chilufei isur hanah travel together, so this is a situation of chilufei isur hanah. And just like one, if we're going to say chilufin of an isur are considered asur, so then the chilufin of isur hanah asur. So how can we say that if you mekadesh ba'orlo, it's not a valid kedushin, but if you mekadesh b'chalufei orlo, chalufei isur hanah, it's going to be a valid kedushin. It must be that chalufin are not asur. The Rishonim point out that what is the halacha that one is, what does the halacha tell us to do with isur hanah? They say, so they explain that what the halacha says is that isur hanah is supposed to be burnt. So maybe the ash is worth a pruta. So Rishonim said we have to explain that our Gemara is referring to a situation where the ash is not worth a shava pruta. And since the ash is not worth a shava pruta, that's not an option. So we see, but isn't this Mishnah clearly a raya? The chalufa yisura no amutter. Says the Gemara Hachinami, we're going to explain here, l'chatchila hu deloy. One can't have a no from Isur HaNor L'chatchila. However, the Ovid, if somebody went, and again, we're going to explain the Gemara like we explained before. There were two separate steps here. The person should not have made Chilufa Isur HaNor, but he did do it. And now that he has Chilufa Isur HaNor, the halacha is that if he used it, and they have a Shava Pruta, if he used it, then the halacha is they're not Osir B'HaNor. And therefore, since if they're not osur b'hanah, they would be able to be, with the evidence, somebody was mekadesh with them, it would be a valid kedushin. So in order to discuss this a little more, the Torah says to affect kedusha kesef, the chassan has to give a kala, an object, which is worth at least a shava pruta. If a chassan would give the actual fruit of orla to a kala for kedushin, the kedusha would not be valid because the fruit is osur b'hanah. And we're discussing now chilufin. And the Gemara is saying that it ought to be that if the oil is osur, the chilufin should be osur. Explains the Rosh, why would we say that? Because it doesn't have any value. If the oil has no value, and the chilufei oil are treated like oil, they have no value. The Ran and Tosfos, however, say that the proceeds of selling orla are only usur to the person who actually did the isur, did the violation of selling orla. It's not usur to other people. So that's why they say that the Rosh's explanation that it has no value is incorrect. Because they say the kala, who didn't do anything wrong, she didn't sell the orla. If she would receive chalufi orla, she could use them. And therefore they have value. So why, ask Tosfos in the round, would we think that the kedushin isn't valid? So he says that the reason we would think that the chilufei orla are asur is not because the kala can't use it. The kala is not the one that sold the orla. And the only one that can't use the chilufei orla is the person who actually sold the orla. But here we're going to have a kala who's going to receive chilufei orla, which she could use, but her husband can't. Since the husband can't have that benefit, that his wife has something that she could use and he can't, therefore when the Gemara is questioning why, if that's a valid kedushin. So the Karen Ira asked a question. Why? So he would have to repeat the Kedushin with something that is not Osabano or Chilufin. Ask the Karan Aira, what would be the purpose of repeating the Kedushin? Just because he can't have benefit from something that his wife has doesn't automatically dissolve the marriage. So giving her, doing the Kedushin over, what is the point? So says the Karan Aira. The Karan Aira says there's a concept in Halacha, which is often discussed in Masech, the Kedushin, of Kedushin Sh'eim Esurin L'Bi Lo Yav Kedushin. A Kedushin that cannot be consummated is not a valid Kedushin. If the woman was married with something that the husband can't benefit from, suggests the Karan Aira that this is considered something which is, this would be Kedushin Sh'eim Esurin L'Bi. But there's another question. The Halacha is, even though Orla is clearly Asr, if there's an individual, Rachman Tzlan, who's a Chaylish Yesh Besakani, he's a very sick person, so we know when it comes to Pekuach Nefesh, everything becomes Mutter. So the Halacha is that you're allowed to feed a sick person Orla. And the Gemara, in fact, in Masech the Psachim, Daf Chav Heyam Bey, says that even if the person is a Chaylish Yesh Besakani, he's not deathly ill, he could eat Orla fruit, Shloi Kederach Anoson, not in the usual manner that this fruit is eaten. So if that's the case, as the Mishnah Lamelech, if the woman is going to be a sick woman who could eat all the fruit if she's a Chol Sheyesh by Sakana, or if she's a Chol Sheyem by Sakana, she could eat all the fruit, Shloi Kederach Anoson. So to her, since she's allowed to eat this all the fruit, then the Kedushin should be a valid Kedushin. So says the Mishnah Lamelech, that if we're going to say, like the Ran and Taisva says, that even if the Kala can eat the Orla, but if the Chosin can't have it, then it's not a valid Kedushin. So now we could understand why this Kedushin should not be a good Kedushin. Because even if we could argue that the Kala could eat this Orla under the circumstances, but we're learning now, according to the Ran and Taisus, if you makadish a woman with an object that the husband can't have any anar from, it's not a valid kedushin, and that's why the Gemara is saying that that's not what we would consider. That's why the Gemara didn't offer this as an option. What to do with Orla was chalufi Orla to say that the kedushin is a valid kedushin under the circumstances that the kala is chas v'shalom not well.